Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now on to Episode 167.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Well, this episode is brought to you by ShopPad, one of the most respected Shopify partners building apps and solutions for over 400,000 merchants around the world. And their flagship product is called Mesa. Now, Mesa is an automation platform and the easiest way to integrate any e-commerce app with your online store. And it's the only automation platform designed exclusively for Shopify and Shopify Plus powered brands. Now, Mesa allows you to create workflows that automatically carry out repetitive tasks, freeing up valuable time to focus on scaling your business operations. Now, they have a no-code workflow builder that allows anyone to create automation through a simple point-and-click interface. You can set up email notifications, schedule tasks, delay workflows, all with the simplicity of Mesa's built-in features. Now, if workflow automation is new to you, don't worry. Mesa also has a free and growing library of templates that will get you set up quickly with the most popular tasks for any business on Shopify. Now, you can try Mesa for free at absolutely no cost. They have a 14-day free trial, so go check them out at getmesa.com. That's GetMesa.com. And their team of experts will support you on your journey of Shopify automation and improving efficiencies. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. If you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, you're definitely in the right place today. New episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog, directly from ecommercefastlane.com. Now, in today's episode, my guest is Steven Van Vessem, who's the Vice President of Community and the co-founder of Content King. And what they are is a real-time, and the only one in the market that does this, by the way, but they're a real-time SEO auditing and monitoring platform that helps almost, I'd say, prevent a lot of SEO disasters that can happen. It's so interesting where a lot of tools in the marketplace right now are kind of a snapshot in time. Very unique about Content King is they're monitoring your website in real time to make sure that you're taking care of some of the low-hanging fruit or things that can just happen with other team members interacting with your website. So interesting. And we know that organic traffic certainly is the holy grail of marketing, getting that free traffic. So it's a great conversation. I believe there's going to be a ton of learnings today. I know SEO and getting share of search and just organic traffic in general is a very hot topic for a lot of people that have Shopify stores. And so please make sure you also listen through to the end of this episode because there is an exclusive listener-only bonus that's available so you can take the platform for a spin and see what it reveals for your store. So hi, Steve. I love your name. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thank you very much for having me, Steve.
My pleasure. So let's talk a little bit on the high level first about what Content King does. I mean, it's obviously some kind of an auditing tool. I have quite a few brands that are using it currently, and they're wowed about what's being revealed. And they're just like, wow, why didn't I have this a year ago or 2 years ago? And where would I be today if I would have done what this tool is revealing? And so I just would love you to share with the audience today about the problems that the tool is solving for Shopify brands.
So first of all, Content King is a real-time SEO auditing platform, meaning that it's monitoring sites around the clock for any issues and changes. That means you have an ever-up-to-date SEO to-do list when you log into the app, and you can see all of the changes going on your site, store, you name it. And in case of SEO trouble, you'll be alerted. could be an email, could be a Slack notification, whatever works for you, we'll be sure to notify you. So a lot of store owners, their store is their business. Their visibility is vital to the existence of the business. So we basically give store owners the means to keep a watchful eye on their site.
Super important. It is an asset. And so it's super important to have that technical part of the business, both like the existing audit that's done right away that you can kind of deal with some of the low-hanging fruit, these metadata and titles and descriptions and kind of basic things. But ongoing, it really is a safety net to make sure that with multiple team members and different people interacting with the website from a content to product and different things, you'd just be really shocked what happens. And I'm glad you have that alert system so that the powers to be that are managing the tool are able to kind of interact with it and say, hey, what happened here? And good internal training for team members and saying, hey, you forgot an H1 tag, or you didn't put a description here, or hey, this page is now 404. And in Google's eyes, that's a bad thing. So thank you so much for sharing that. I love having the up-to-date SEO list of things, not just what happened a month ago when you did an audit through from some other tool that's out there. This is no ongoing, like right away, and you can see progress over time, which I love.
Exactly. And these stores are, they're work in progress. SEO is never done and people are continually working on the store. So it only makes sense to have SEO tooling that aligns with that nature.
So let's talk about the journey of the founders and the platform itself. I'm always fascinated why people build what they build. You know, I think it's a lot more than just, hey, I want to have a SaaS company and I want MRR, I want, you know, recurring revenue. And you know, I mean, that's kind of the holy grail of subscription kind of SaaS companies. But I believe from the story that I know that there's a lot more to it behind than, hey, we've, you know, made a purpose-built solution that we believe could be valuable to others. So I just would love you to share with our audience today about like what you believe positions you and the founding team on a couple points, like the desire to want to build this tool and where did you get the expertise to want to dig into the SEO?
We ran a digital marketing agency before we founded Content King. So Content King was founded in 2015 and we ran a digital marketing agency from 2008 until 2015. And I was heading up the SEO team. I was basically running into the issue where we had this weekly SEO process that was very complete, but it took so much time. We were basically checking for all the same issues every week. We couldn't make comparisons. Like, what did the site look like a week ago? What changed? Because if you go through a site once, like thoroughly, and then you work on the site, you know it. Like, you know where to look for the issues. But if you can then just look at the diff between now and the last time you checked it, you could just focus on the stuff that changed that saved you so much time. And I was basically complaining to Vincent, my co-founder, about this. Dude, this is really time consuming. And still, we're missing issues and changes our clients made. And he was like, okay, Steve, give me a couple of days and I'll get back to you. Yeah, what he got back to me with was early prototype of Content King.
I'm actually in the admin right now. And what I love about it, exactly what you were talking about, was seeing the changes over time. And you can see kind of your current health score, but then you can also see and saying, hey, let's talk about the tracked changes and are we moving in the right direction as far as the affected pages and what sort of work effort are you putting into it? And I think it's quite interesting because you're right. I've done many audits with other different types of tools that are available on the marketplace right now, but literally it's a snapshot in time, still valuable. It's a report, you know, it could be 100 pages long of some of the low-hanging fruit, I'll call it, of things that need to be addressed. And my brands are thankful for it. But then other than having to, once again, rerun the audit again, another snapshot in time, sometimes it can be a little bit too late. It's almost like people not having this tool today, they wish they would have had it 2 years ago and solved their problems because nothing has changed in 2 years. And so we're having this tool monitoring and being almost a trusted advisor for you from an organic or from a health standpoint of your website. I think it's pretty cool that you can see that sort of thing. Let's talk about some of the nuances because I think SEO is unique for commerce brands, maybe versus other different types of websites, if it's a blog or if you're in the automotive industry or you're in the travel and tourism business. I mean, SEO in general, I think there are some best practices, but I think there's some uniqueness around those that are on Shopify with, you know, products and collections. And then also a lot of them have content strategies around building community. And so it's very interesting. So I would just love for you to share kind of what you see that's very specific about SEO as it relates to e-commerce.
Yep. Yeah, sure thing. So when I think about e-commerce SEO, first thing that comes to mind, there's products coming and going. Some products may be sold out and they may come back in the future. Some products are just gone, like the product's been discontinued and it's just removed from the site. You're adding new products. There's a ton of stuff going on e-com sites always. And it's very interesting to track what's going on. And first of all, whether that aligns with your expectations, because it's easy to lose products and category pages, collection pages. And on the other hand, it's interesting to see, okay, if I have a collection page and it has 20 decent links pointing to it from other sites, I'm going to 1-3-1 redirect this one to the most relevant alternative page within my site to carry that value and authority over to the other page, because you don't want that to go to waste. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. And another one is facet navigation. So it's basically filtering, sorting, and segmenting your products. It's immensely useful for users, because if you're looking for, I don't know, Adidas sneakers for men for a certain size and certain color, you can quickly find the shoes you're looking for. But for search engines, that can become tricky, because if your facet navigation is crawlable, indexable, you potentially create loads and loads of other URLs on new URLs on the site that could lead to something that's called a crawl trap, where search engines are basically focusing on crawling the wrong things.
That's very interesting, because I could see that happening. And I know sometimes I have brands that mention saying, hey, after I've done an audit, they look at it and they go, okay, why is it that there is the product page, but then there's also the same product in multiple collections? So then all of a sudden you have 4 or 5 or 10 URLs that all eventually resolve on the same product page. I know what Shopify does kind of natively, they automatically have what's called a canonical, and they make sure that it's pointing to the final product details page for that particular product, even though it may be located in multiple collections or in smart collections. And maybe the URL string, they're obviously all going to be different, but they still lead to the same product if you finally click through on it. So that's interesting nuance that Shopify has, but I know that they have definitely resolving that. What your tool does and others is that it notifies the site user and says, hey, just so you know, you're using the exact same title and description, and we feel that there's some duplicate content issues going on here. The reality is that really duplicate content if the canonical is pointing to the correct product details page, but the same products are in multiple collections, potentially using the same title?
Yeah. So from an SEO point of view, that's not duplicate content. Content King wouldn't flag that. But say if you hadn't set up those canonicals, or if you're running on a different platform that doesn't support that, that would be duplicate content. And that wouldn't be good, because potentially, like, Google would be looking at all those pages and be like, okay, so which one should I rank? Which one should I choose? And the pages kind of end up competing with one another. Well, you have your hands full with the competition. You're also fighting an internal battle.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the issues that the Content King platform can identify for Shopify brands. I mean, we've talked on a high level a little bit about the fact that, hey, we monitor your website 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you get alerts. We do an initial kind of crawl and reveal a lot of things, which we'll talk about in a second. And then there's the ongoing alert system of things that have uncovered itself since the initial 24-hour period. Maybe you can just kind of go through some of the high-level ones that the listeners could see that could be important to them in their store that this tool will reveal.
Yeah, sure thing, Steve. So first of all, broken links. Like, every site probably has broken links. The same goes for Shopify stores. So easily identifying broken links, like where is the link from? Where should I fix it? That's something that you'll find on most stores. So that's a bit of a no-brainer. Another one is links to redirected pages. So for instance, if you have page A that's redirecting to page B, but you link to page A, you're introducing a bit of latency to a user's experience on the site. So you're going to want to cut out that redirect and just update the link to point to page B directly. So that's two things that come to mind when we're thinking about links. But another one is zooming in on page titles, headings, and meta descriptions. So page titles, obviously, a very important ranking factor in Google. So you want to make sure that all of your important keywords are in there, but you also want to make sure that it's unique and that it's long enough and not too long, because often it's shown by Google in the search results. The meta description is often being rewritten by Google. While it's being rewritten, doesn't mean that it's not important. For some pages, it gets rewritten like 50% of the time. Other times, it's a little less. But it's basically your elevator pitch to users. So I would always craft it around the primary query that I'm targeting with a page. Those are kind of like the basics. And then when you move beyond that, you could look at things like, hey, Content King's found X thousand pages, but only a small set of them are indexable. How is it finding all of the other ones? Could it be that I'm linking to a lot of non-indexable pages? Maybe those links should be pointing elsewhere to indexable pages, the pages that you want to rank for.
One thing that comes up too, I see in a few brands, is the schema.org challenge, where a lot of them are saying schema.org implementation should respect Google's structured data guidelines. I have one particular brand I'm looking at right now, and they're saying like 100% of their website is affected, and they're showing some details. Are you able to kind of just expand upon that? Because it seems like a lot of the sites that I have connected to this platform right now, it seems that schema.org, along with the other ones you mentioned, you know, meta descriptions and images and content headings, and these are, and links and stuff, these are like really important, and they improve the health score of your website, which would then give you better share of search and more organic traffic. But the schema part of it, are you able to expand a little bit on what, like, what does that mean? And then what's the scalable workaround to be schema compliant so that your tool's not saying 100% of your website is not schema.org compliant?
Schema, it adds context to machines as to what they're looking at. So for instance, you could tell machines that, like Google, that they're looking at a product page or a category page or a review page and so on. So you're basically providing them with very clear context as to the content that they're going through. And in particular for e-com brands, schema is useful to tell search engines, hey, these are product pages and they have reviews. Here are the reviews. Because oftentimes Google will show those reviews in the search results. It enables you to stand out much more than results that don't have those stars in the SERP results. I think that would be the primary use case I would have in mind for e-commerce.
So in this particular case, then, for this brand, they would then have to, I guess, use some kind of a plugin or something to connect their store and make sure that the schema, because I guess your tool is just identifying the fact that, hey, these pages are missing schema. Fair enough. Okay. So now the next step, and I'm looking at the review page right now that talks about and says, you know, what is structured data and an introduction to it. You have a really good area inside your academy that like educates the customer, the Shopify brand owner, about like what is schema, the different types. And then we have to talk about, well, like how do you implement it? And then so there are some ways of how you can do through JavaScript and this micro data, they call it. And there's, and so it sounds like there's some opportunity here of how you activate the schema on a Shopify store. It looks like you have some code here that you could, what the JSON LD looks like, and or maybe there's even some, like a plugin or a one-off. I've even seen in the Shopify app store, a one-off charge to make your store schema compliant so it's pulling in all the things it needs so that the website is ready so that when Google does crawl it, you check it and you go, no, you are schema compliant. And then when Google recrawls it, you're right, the stars for the reviews. I mean, it could be pricing, it could be availability. There's so many things that schema is available. So maybe you can just kind of expand upon, hey, here's the schema problem. How do we fix it?
you can implement schema by hand, but if you're not intimately familiar with JSON-LD, I wouldn't do that. There are two good Shopify apps that come to mind. One of them is called SEO Manager, and the other one is JSON-LD for SEO. And we cover them in our Academy article that you mentioned, Steve. Not sure if we'll give a shout out to the article later, but if you search for Content King and Shopify SEO, you'll find it easily. It basically details everything that the Shopify platform has to offer, some of the points of improvements, and basically how to tackle those. Overall, I'm very impressed with the platform, and maybe even more with all of the steps that the Shopify team has been making over the last year or so. There's so much going on.
I'm always fascinated a little bit about the work effort that goes into maybe implementing a new tool. Everybody agrees for sure, especially the brands I talk to. I get pinged on social media quite a bit about, hey, how do I improve my SEO? Or how do I get organic traffic? I mean, like I said at the top of the show, it's the holy grail. Like, you really want the free traffic. You want to be, in Google's eyes, like the obvious choice. And the only way you become the obvious choice, number one, I guess, is start off with being technically compliant from a Google's perspective. So let's talk a little bit about how you've seen e-commerce brands use the Content King tool right now. And like, have you noticed any workflow that you believe is generating the most impact for these brands?
The workflow people use in Content King differs. A lot of our e-commerce customers spend a lot of time in the app fixing issues. They're very hands-on. And the amount of time they spend differs based on whether or not their site is already in a good place or whether there's so much to do. So if it's in a great place, they would be more in management mode to make sure that like everything is going according to plan. All of the changes that Content King's picking up are expected. And of course, there's always room for improvement. You're going to be pushing improvement. You're going to be pushing more content. But say you've got a lot of basic stuff that you still need to work on, like duplicate content, broken links, that kind of stuff. You're going to be spending some more time in the trenches compared to those that are already in a good place. When you receive an alert, I would definitely check as soon as you can what's going on, because these alerts are lifesavers. If you don't get alerts, I would at least start the day by taking a quick peek at the dashboard to see, hey, what's going on? Have pages been added, removed? They've been redirected? Maybe we got some server errors, something was up. It's not very likely to happen on the Shopify platform, but yeah, never say never. So I would look at that, and you're based on the issues that Content King flags, you're going to want to make a roadmap of the changes you want to make. And you can just plan those out.
I see. And the nice thing too about the tool that I've noticed, like I said, and I mentioned it before, was I just love the fact that it shows up in the corner under issues, you can see the tracked changes. And so you can see the impact of your work as, you know, over time, because it's, you know, it's crawling your site 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and making sure, has anything changed since the last time we had a peak? And the answer is probably. New issues arrive, things are being resolved, and then you're certainly, you want to go up and to the right, you know, getting a higher health score. You know, I have one brand looking at right now, which is a fairly big brand in the, you know, $30 million range. They have a health score of like 859 right now, but they have a lot of things that they need to fix. So here's a $30 million brand that has meta description challenges, links, images, titles. They've got open graph problems. They've got schema problems. Can you run a brand without having perfect SEO? Yes. But imagine the impact that the brand is going to have now they have access to this tool and they can resolve a lot of these on-page kind of technical things. And then, as you talked before, transferring the link juice, the domain authority and the ranking values that are coming to certain pages and making sure they're being redirected to the correct pages so that, you know, it's not being shared amongst pages that aren't important. You want to go to the most important pages. So I think that's great. Let's dig a little more into the platform. I understand there's a lot of connections available. So you basically add your store. It begins that crawl. There's a validation process, which we'll get into in a second. But another thing that's interesting is that there's Google Analytics, and then there's a thing called Google Search Console. I think formerly it was called like Webmaster Tools. And so I just would like to understand, like, why are we connecting Google Analytics and Google Search Console along with your Shopify store? Why are those three together? And what does that reveal? Why is it important?
Yeah, that's a good question. So when you integrate Content King with Google Analytics, you can pull in the amount of visitors pages are getting, the value the pages are generating, things like that. Like all of the basic metrics that you want to see in Google Analytics, we pull them into Content King. This allows you to kind of tie in SEO to Google Analytics results. And Google Analytics encompasses more than just organic traffic. So you'll see referral traffic as well, direct traffic, all of the traffic sources. And if you look at your site in an SEO vacuum, so to say, you could be losing out on important information. You could have very important pages that generate a lot of revenue, but get very little search traffic. With that Google Analytics connection, you can see that. And we pull in the Google Analytics metrics to calculate the page importance score within Content King as well. So that kind of fuels the algorithm on our end to refine that metric. And when you integrate with Google Search Console, you pull in the amount of clicks, impressions, average CTR, average position. So you're coming to the point where you have like a one big dashboard where everything comes together. And you can set up segments based on the information you're pulling in. So for instance, you could set up a segment for all of the pages that are pulling in more than 1,000 clicks through Google, for instance. So there's a ton of cool stuff you can do once you have that information available.
Very cool. So the short answer is do it because you need it, because it's going to give you the necessary insights to really expand more than just kind of the on-page technical things like any old snapshot kind of SEO tool will do. This is goes even wider now and says, no, let's talk about clicks. Let's talk about average location. Let's talk about important pages. And so it sounds like it's fueling a lot of your algorithms to give people a roadmap of what they need to do to improve their site. So I think that's great. So let's just say that a brand agrees Content King is for them. They want to give it a spin. They connect their store to the platform. They resolve, let's say, most of the technical issues. They get this metadata and the titles and the schemas and the links, and they get all that kind of organized. They may not do it all in one big swoop, but close enough. They'll be able to go through it and whatever the work effort is to get that done. So do you have any recommended KPIs or business outcomes? We have everything connected now. So we have analytics, Search Console, your Shopify store. It's all connected. I'm just curious about like what does great look like? Yes, we're doing all of this work and our health score is increasing, but how do you know what success is later? Like, does the tool reveal the fact that, hey, your organic reach is going up? Why? We see it in analytics. We can prove it to you in Google Search Console right now, blended into the tool to saying your share of search is going up. Or it's hard sometimes on a podcast to share that with people, but I'm just curious on your end, if you think of any KPIs or business outcomes based on the work effort that in fact everything is going in the right direction.
When I think about KPIs and sites, there's a couple of things that come to mind. Obviously, you have visits, rankings, but those don't pay the bills. So ultimately, what you're going to look for is conversions. And when we're talking about stores, we're talking about dollars. So hold hard cash. That's the best KPI out there, I would say. If you can't track that, I would go for the next best thing. So like a conversions or page value. And if you don't have that, you kind of go more up, make it more generic, and look at traffic and rankings. Obviously, you have the Content King health score, which is a great way to see, like, how am I doing compared to, say, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, or a couple of months ago, whatever. But you could technically have a very high health score, but not make that much money, because there's more to it than having a great technical platform. You need to have great content. You need to have great products. The whole mix needs to be great. Look at revenue as the primary metric and take it from there.
And I've noticed, I'll make sure I share this in the show notes about the Shopify kind of SEO tips that you've updated, I think as of this recording, June 8th, 2021, but it's a very decent guide, almost the definitive guide out there right now about the URL structure and managing redirects and meta and titles and, you know, images and structured data and page speed. And you go through quite a bit here. I guess to bring it all back a little bit. So revenue is an important metric, and health score keeps going up and to the right. So you're right. I mean, you want to be technically compliant. So you're going to keep doing your best and monitoring your site to make sure that no train wrecks happen with other team members doing certain things on the website, if it's product, if it's content, things like that. So I get that kind of security measures that are available to make sure that nothing crazy is happening. I think it sounds like there could be like a 1-2 punch, so to speak, where this is auditing the health and giving you best practices, you know, based on GA, Webmaster Tools, or like Search Console and your Shopify store. But it sounds like that there's like an education component about like, well, how do you compare to others in your industry? As say, you know, in search, for example, and then like, who are your competitors? Maybe not the ones you think they are, but who really are your competitors in your space based on the keywords that you rank for? And I know you don't go down that rabbit hole of understanding where you are from a keyword perspective. I think there's other tools to do that sort of thing. We may want to add that to the show notes. So I think it's something that's kind of an interesting side note, is saying, hey, who are your competitors? What am I doing today? Are there any shared keywords between myself and my competitors? But are there any missing keywords between myself and my competitors? And there's missing ones. Why is my competitor doing better on these keywords that I believe are also important to me? It opens up the dialogue a little bit about, hey, wait a second. Am I missing a content strategy here of my competition is outranking me on keywords that I don't rank at all, but I want to rank? It's almost like you want to do, Ryan Dean, I think, skyscraper technique or whatever, and looking at the top three and going, hey, wait a second. Who's linking to these top three articles based on my keyword? Do I have something that could be more epic? Just would love your feedback on that about, well, great, the tool is managing the SEO component and the health component. The other side is the competition keyword kind of discovery part of, like, I guess, developing content to then start ranking for these keywords, to start building your keyword rankings for more keywords. Like, what are you recommending today then for that, for those folks that want to understand the competitiveness of their space, but they want to start doing like keyword research, competitive analysis, coming up with a content strategy around what their competitors are ranking for and they're not? Like, what are you recommending today?
So first of all, it's important and it's interesting to look at what competitors are doing. It's also very easy to get caught up in it and to kind of copy what they are doing, and then turns out it's just not working for you. It's a different business. So be careful about that, but it's totally fine and recommended to draw inspiration from what the competition is doing. And in my agency days, this was always one of the questions we'd ask our prospects, like, who are your top five competitors? And in most cases, none of those top five competitors were their online competitors. They would name brands that they remembered, that they knew in real life. But if you went online, like, none of them would be really competitors. When picking your competitors, make sure you pick the ones that you're really competing with. And yeah, then take a peek at where your search queries overlap and where the gaps lie. So maybe they have certain content around topics that you sell products around. So that could be that when you add that content, you could start ranking for that as well. But say a site has, on average, like, 50 links pointing to that page, and it ranks in the top three, chances are high that you're not going to rank there if you don't have any links. You need to look at the feasibility of that as well. So it really comes down to doing keyword research. Look at the kind of queries that are important to your business, like, which ones are your customers using? How much are they using it? How much business potential do they have? Does it align well with the content that you have? So say someone's searching for the best cameras for summer 2021. That doesn't sound like a collection page should come up, and it's not likely that would rank. That sounds more like an idea for a blog article. So you need to look at, okay, what type of content do I need to create to catch that searcher and take them to my site?
Love it. Okay, thank you so much for that feedback. I'm also going to put a little link in the show notes too for a few recommended kind of external tools that can maybe, or some resources that could help you with understanding keyword research, how to do it, even if it's going into AdWords and through Google, and just, you know, pretending you're going to run an AdWords kind of a campaign and talk about popularity of keywords. And then from there, there are some tools available that can talk about the competitiveness or your share of search as it relates to you compared to your competitors. You're right. It is an interesting rabbit hole, but I think there's ways of sorting by domain authority based on the keywords that are important, saying, okay, is there an opportunity here or not? Is it feasible? If there's 50 high authority inbound links coming to this particular page, maybe you might want to not tackle that one at this point. There could be other low-hanging fruits. I think it's another conversation for another whole podcast episode about keyword research and competitiveness. So we might want to think about that. So let's talk about the future for the Content King platform. Are you able to share maybe a North Star, I guess, for the remainder of 21? Is there any kind of innovation planned? End of the day, I just want to get a warm and fuzzy. Like, how are you going to continue, I guess, to offer value and assistance for Shopify brands?
Yeah, lots of exciting stuff happening. Can't disclose everything, but I can mention a couple of things. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll be rolling out Lighthouse Monitoring. It's like a new feature in Content King that allows you to monitor your core web vitals using Lighthouse. As of this week, Google's rolling out a new update. It's the page experience update, and it's going to run until the end of August. And it's going to be putting more emphasis on page experience. So for those wondering what page experience is, it's about providing users with a good page experience or not. So it's like how good is the page experience on your site for a user. It's different for desktop users, for mobile users, differs based on internet speeds, stuff like that. But without getting very technical, it's basically a way to measure the user experience a user can expect on a page. The better you do, the better your rankings are. So that's got to be a really nice addition to the feature set that we already have. It's got to be rolled out over the next couple of weeks. Lots and lots of businesses are working on improving their core web vitals, as Google is starting to incorporate this now as an official ranking factor. We're going to be working on creating much more appealing reports in our application. People already love our graphs, but we're going to 10x it. So that's going to be cool. And we'll be opening an open office in the US, and we'll continue to publish great content in our Content Academy, publish new features. It's like your site's SEO is never done, and our platform is never done. Google's keeping us busy, but there's so much cool stuff that we're coming up with, or that our customers are coming up with. Like on a daily basis, they reach out and say, Steve, the chats that you and I had, you were like, oh, hey, have you considered this? Like, there's loads of good ideas people bring up. So never a dull moment. It's plenty to do.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing that. So we are nearing the end of the show for today, but do you have any takeaways or any action items that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah, definitely. So I see a lot of people chasing the next best thing in SEO. They haven't really gotten the basics right. So I recommend focusing on that first, like get all the basics right. Just make sure all of your pages have a unique page title, meta description, headings. You don't have any broken links, et cetera, that you're basically running a tight ship. And then move on to the more advanced stuff and try to leverage that to grow. So that's a great place to start from. You have to walk before you can run, right? Then I would look into updating existing content. It's low-hanging fruit because the content has already been indexed and oftentimes it's performing all right. And with a couple of tweaks and extensions, you'll see that you can make quite a big jump in organic traffic. And then I would look at like what kind of new content can I create? And maybe sometimes you got to fill a couple of quote unquote content gaps, but could also very well be that you need to create a planning for publishing interesting content for your audience on the blog regularly, like once a week, twice a week, whatever it takes to reach your goals. Don't blog because others are doing it, but you need to have a plan and you need to have goals behind it. But creating new content is always part of the process of moving up in Google's ranks. and then rinse and repeat. Make sure you keep a watchful eye on the platform, monitor all of the changes, especially as your team is expanding, your site's getting bigger. You don't want to end up with too many cooks in the kitchen touching each other's stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think it's a source of truth for everything you do with SEO, and I think that's great. So how can people learn more about the solution, and how can they take the platform for a spin?
Yeah, so people can find us at contentkingapp.com. You can find us on Twitter, contentkingapp.com/academy. We'll send you to our wealth of SEO knowledge that we publish on our site for free. We have a couple of e-commerce case studies on the site as well. So once you go to the homepage, you'll find the button to go to the case studies. I think we'll be able to add those to the show notes as well, right, Steve?
Definitely, yeah. And I know you wanted to offer, I guess, a listener-only promotion. Are you able to kind of share some of the details of how people can take the platform for a spin and see if it's right for their brand?
Yeah, definitely. So we offer eCommerce Fastlane listeners an exclusive 45-day trial. So if you go to eCommerceFastlane.com/contentking, you'll be able to benefit from that. So go to that URL, eCommerceFastlane.com/contentking. You'll be sent to the site. You just drop in domain name, email address, and off you go. And you can benefit from that 45-day trial. The default's 14 days, so you get like a month extra.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for offering that for the listeners today. Because, you know, like I said, it's a extremely hot topic of, you know, just with the customer acquisition costs rising, it's a necessary thing to deal with your SEO and, you know, forget the shiny object syndrome and chasing all the things trying to beat Google. How about just be Google compliant and then monitor your website? Follow the best practices. You're absolutely correct. All right. So thanks again for coming on the show. There's been like a ridiculous amount of knowledge bombs here. I love SEO. I love helping brands. I'm excited that I'm able to share this tool with a lot of brands that I manage. I'm excited for kind of the future of Content King and how it relates to Shopify brands. And just wanted to thank you so much for coming on the show. It seems very clear to me that both you and the Content King team really are in tight alignment with wanting to help brands, in a lot of ways, improving efficiencies of just identifying the challenges with the website as far as an SEO perspective, but then helping to grow, you know, through share of search and through organic traffic. And just once again, thank you for sharing your knowledge and your vision and just giving back to the Shopify ecosystem.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Have yourself a great day. Today's episode was made possible by Mesa, the easiest way to integrate any Shopify app with your online store. Now, Mesa allows you to create workflows that automatically carry out repetitive tasks and free up valuable time to focus on growing and scaling your business operations. You can set up email notifications, schedule tasks, delay workflows, all with the simplicity of Mesa's built-in features. Now, Mesa has a free and growing library of templates that will get you set up quickly with the most popular tasks for any growing business on Shopify. Now, you can try Mesa today for free, absolutely no cost. They have a 14-day free trial, so go check them out at getmesa.com. That's GETMESA.com. And their team of experts will support you on your journey of Shopify automation and improving efficiencies. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.